tonight, I just want to share a few things. And what I want us to do tonight is to pray a lot. And so there are going to be a few different things that will be talked about. And then after each one, give you the opportunity to pray. And it's been an interesting feeling leading up to the start of the real campaign. I've been feeling excitement. I've also been feeling weary, and so I'm really glad that we're here. I'm really glad we're at this moment where it is upon us. But also know that for a lot of us, probably we're at the end of term three, or at the end of winter, or at the end of seemingly we've been talking about real for a long time, and now here we are. And so it may be that we need just that last boost from God, that last spiritual anointing that God would give us to help us to push on over these next 2 weeks and see what he has for us. And so I want to kind of finish the Encounters with God series. And where we got to was Acts chapter 9. And so I got a couple of slides to come up. And the first of them is just kind of identifying what's the big message that we've been looking at through the book of Acts. And the big message has been that the gospel and the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, forgiveness, adoption, everything that goes with it, is for everybody. No one is beyond God's power to save. And then in Acts chapter 9 and 10, we get two ways that this totality, the all-inclusive nature of the gospel, are proven. And the first is, does the gospel extend even to Paul? And then in Acts 10, it's, does the gospel extend even to the Gentiles? And so if we look at the question of Paul, or Saul, as he is, he hasn't been renamed yet to Paul, but where we find Saul at the end of chapter 7, start of chapter 8, and he is the one giving approval to the killing of Stephen. And so we see a couple of things that is said about Saul. And it says, at the start of 8, it says, and Saul approved of their killing Stephen. And then in verse 3, it says, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. And so Saul was an enemy of believers. He was actively opposed to everything that that carried the name of Jesus. And then this happens. And it says, meanwhile, in chapter 9 here, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And it's interesting here what Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says about his experience of conversion. He says, "Here is this trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." So the first time of prayer that I'd like to have us to have together is, I want you to think about, who do you know in your life who is the most opposed, the most resistant, the most unlikely person to come to faith in Jesus? Who is someone that you know that you just thought, "Man, if that person ever comes to know Jesus, then I'll believe anything is possible"? What do you think? Could be a couple of people, but think about, maybe it's not a conscious thought. Maybe you just know that now that you think about it, that there's someone in your life and you've been thinking about all the people who you might want to invite, or who you might want to share the gospel with, or you might want to see come to faith, but this person never comes up in your thoughts, maybe because you think they're too far gone. And so you pray for things that seem more realistic. But let's take a moment, just on your own, to think about who in your life seems the furthest away, the most hostile, the most opposed to the gospel. And just there in your seat, on your own, I want you to pray for their salvation. Because Paul said his experience was an example to us that no one is beyond God's reach. Father God, would you help us so believe in the power of the gospel, the power of the name of Jesus, that we would look at the people in our lives, the people we see each day, and truly believe that no one is beyond your reach, that your grace and your mercy is powerful enough to overcome any human opposition to you. And God, give us boldness in those situations, situations with people that seem so unlikely that they might come to faith. God, would you use us with them? That we would act in faith and be obedient to you and see them come to know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So in chapter 10, we get a corporate version of this. And so we've looked at the question, you know, the big message of Acts is that the gospel is for everyone. The first test of it was even Paul. And then the second test is a slide here. Thanks, Mark. Is even the Gentiles. Even the Gentiles in chapter 10. And this is a really cool story that you'll see in chapter 10, where a man called Cornelius, who's a centurion, gets a vision of an angel who says to him that your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. And so Cornelius gets this vision from an angel to go and call a man called Peter. If you flick a couple of slides ahead, thanks, Mark. And then while this is happening, Peter gets a vision, and in Peter's vision, he's hungry, he wants something to eat, and he sees heaven open and a whole bunch of food there, meat four-footed animals, reptiles and birds laid out before him. And then a voice gets up and says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter replies, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And so the two come together. These men arrive to Simon and says, "You need to come to Cornelius. He's had a vision from God." And Peter says this amazing thing as he enters Cornelius's house. In verse 28 of chapter 10, he says, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection." And then Cornelius explains what's happened. And then we see the verses that I've put up on the screen. This is what Peter says in response. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." And then Peter explains the gospel to them. And then in verse 44, it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, 'Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have.'" And so we see here an example or a demonstration that no group of people are beyond God's reach. That there are no groups in our society for whom they are beyond being brought into faith by the gospel. And so let's take a moment to think about our society. Think about the different ways that our society is marked out: the poor and the rich, the men and the women, the educated, the uneducated, the healthy and the sick. Think about all those different ways that we divide into groups in our society, and then think, do I really believe that every group of people that exists in the world today, in our society here in Australia, is able to be brought to Jesus through the gospel? So what I want to invite you to do, in your seats, looks like we've got some good groupings here. Only one I might get you to move is if Brod and Ben and Christian, if you could form a little group there. But if we could form little groups of 3 to 5, it looks like mostly 3 will kind of work out decently. Then what I want you to do is I want you to pray. I want you to think of the people in our society who maybe seem beyond God's reach. Or when you think about it and you think, or even you just think, wow, wouldn't it be incredible if that group of people came to know Jesus? The marginalized, the poor, the sick. Maybe it's a neighborhood in the Shire, or a block, an apartment block, or it's a street, and you just think, oh man, everyone's given up on that street, but wouldn't it be awesome if we saw God move with power through his Spirit to bring transformation there? So turn to the people around you, whatever the Spirit brings to your mind, let's pray that we would see people come to know God. I'll close this time of prayer. God, we do thank you that you've demonstrated that that even Saul could believe and receive your Spirit, that even the Gentiles could believe and receive your Spirit. And God, we know that we as humans have natural tendencies that make us think that someone or some group of people are more likely or less likely to believe. But God, help us to see with your eyes. Give us faith, Lord. Give us a heart for those that don't know you. And God, we pray that we would see the unlikely ones come to you, to testify to your goodness, to be transformed by your gospel and to be empowered by your spirit to transform this world. In Jesus' name, amen.